Well, over the past few weeks, we've explored the scriptures about themes like resting in him, relying on him, restoring my joy, revering his presence. And today, we bring our revival and renewal series to a conclusion with a final message, which is renovate my heart. Make that your prayer today, that God would renovate your heart. The scripture this morning comes from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 30. And I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, both here and at home. Would you stand with us? And we're going to read specifically verses 22 to 30. This is what the scripture says. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show you the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful, and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field, so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Ezekiel 36, to us today. Father, I pray that you would teach us to rend our hearts to you, that you would be Lord of our lives, that you would have full possession of our hearts, not just part of our hearts, but you'd have our whole hearts, God. It all belongs to you. And so, Father, today I pray that you would do a deep inner work within us, that you'd cleanse us. In many ways, Lord, one of the words that we use in these days is sanitize, that you would sanitize our hearts today of the uncleanliness, of the evil that is easily hidden within. Reveal those things. May we confess them to you today. But, Lord, even greater, you want to do something even greater. You want to give us a heart change. You want to give us a new spirit, oh God. And I pray that you do this inner work within us through the power of your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we're open, we're available, we're ready. Do what you want to do today. Do it in our lives. Do it in our church so that we can represent you well in this world. So God, we need your help today to understand the scripture. I need your help to preach the word to your people that they may hear and obey. God, would you rest upon us? May your Holy Spirit move in this room. May it move online in every home. Meet each person where they are. Minister to their hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The question that I want to present to all of you today is, how do you know the condition of your heart? How do you know the condition of your heart? You see, the most common answer is go consult a medical physician, even a specialist like a cardiologist. And the first phase of assessment might begin with stress tests and a Holter monitor, followed by echo and electrocardiograms, sometimes in severe cases, CT scans and MRIs and other medical tools and assessments. But these medical tools, they help determine the health of the tissue within, the muscle performance, and the blood flow to and from the heart. These Medical tools are very important because they give us an idea of what's happening on the inside. And while these medical tests are so helpful, I want you to know today that the condition of your heart is not limited to your biological health. No, it extends to our spiritual health. Even the most biologically healthy heart can still be a spiritually sick heart. See, you and I, we can look around this room and we can look at each other. We look at each other, we're walking, we're moving, we're doing all that we need to do. And you'll say, well, this is a healthy person. Well, how do you know? Have you looked into their heart? Can you see beyond the external and can you look into the eternal? Internal, thankfully, we have a God who looks not only at the outward appearance, but who looks deep into our heart. And many of us are quick to assume that the default condition of our heart is healthy. That somehow, some way, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, we're always just healthy. But the prophet Jeremiah, he believed otherwise about the human heart. And he tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and it's beyond cure. Oh no, that's not good news. Who can understand it? See, he's referring to the condition of the heart as we are born into sin and we are prone to do evil. This is our sinful nature. And while there is no natural cure, guess what, my friends? There is certainly a spiritual cure to our sin problem. We need a savior. We need a sanctifier. See, salvation is that instantaneous moment in your life, while sanctification is this ongoing process across the time of your life. And even as Christians, your heart and my heart still needs work. It still needs to be renovated. This morning, I want to examine the renovation of heart that leads us from God's discipline to God's blessing based on Ezekiel 36, 22 to 30. First point I want to share with you is the evil in my heart. Yes, there is evil in our hearts. Verse 23. Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. And I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. To the generation of Israelites that we find Ezekiel addressing in chapter 36, they were believers who had dishonored God with their hearts. We are warned in the scripture in Proverbs 4:23 to above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Think about that for a second. Everything you do, not just some things, everything. And Jesus, he reiterated this wisdom in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man, he brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Well, the heart then is connected to the mouth. And what is within us eventually comes out of us. And what is hidden within us is eventually revealed to everyone. Mark 7, 20 to 23, it was Jesus who said, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils, they come from inside and they defile a person. God accused his people of profaning his name among the nations. Well, I asked the question, were the Israelites breaking the third of the Ten Commandments? See, Exodus 20, verse 7 outlines, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Is this one of those scenarios where they're misusing the name of God? This is actually not about that. This is not about taking the Lord's name in vain. We actually have to look back in Scripture, a couple of verses back in Ezekiel 36:20, to understand what God actually considers to be profane. This is all about God's reputation. This is all about God's character. And in addition to the bloodshed and the idolatry in the land, the Israelites represented God poorly to the world in these foreign lands. The Scripture says, "And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name, for it was said of them that these are the Lord's people, and yet they have had to leave his land." See, to be deported from the land God had given them made an impression on the Israelite neighbors that their God had recklessly abandoned them. And we know that's not the case. And these neighbors would also assume that Israel's God was not strong enough to defend his people and to protect their land. And we know that's also not true. What's the problem? It's the evil within their hearts. And they receive the discipline of God. And Daniel I. Block, a commentator, he helps us understand the meaning of this text when he says that the first statement challenges Yahweh's credibility and Yahweh's integrity. But the second statement challenges his sovereignty, that he's God over all things. Not that he's just God over Israel, he's God over all. And these two ideas are being challenged here. God held the Israelites accountable for defiling the holiness of his name, and they brought disrepute among the nations because of the evil that was set in their hearts. And this brought about the discipline of God, which was misunderstood by their neighbors. You see, some of us are making God famous, but for all the wrong reasons. Let that sink in for a moment. Sometimes we are making God famous for all the wrong reasons. That is the witness that we're giving to the world. And it's a false witness of who our God is. Because there's evil resident within us. God wants the nations to know that he's a holy God. Let me say this time and time again, as you read the Bible, do not read the Bible narrowly. God certainly loves Israel. Let that never be a doubt in your mind. But God also loves all the nations of the world. Every tribe, every language, every tongue, every nation. That is his purpose. His purpose is that all of these wonderful people would profess that he is Lord. And yet what happens? The Israelites do a poor job of representing God in the land. Isn't this a story about the church today? That maybe we're not doing such a great job representing God in this world that we live in. And so God wants the nations to know that he is a holy God. And how does he do that? It is in and through your personal and your collective holiness. And where does holiness come from? Right in the heart. What is the condition of your heart today, my friends? What is the condition of our hearts today? See, as God's people, it is time to get rid of the evil in our heart so that we do not misrepresent God to others. We need to represent him well. We need to be his ambassadors in these days, that the world may know that we are his disciples, that we would profess his name, that we would tell of his wonderful deeds, that he alone is God. Secondly, today, the transformation of my heart. There's a transformation of your heart that needs to take place. Verses 24 to 27, the scripture says, "For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries, and I'll bring you back into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws." All of this is God's doing. I will do this. You see, if God is going to bring revival and renewal, you and I, we need to embrace the newness that God has for us. God is doing something new, my friends. God sent his people out of their land with the very intention of bringing them back to their land. But they must not return the same way they had left. And so revival and renewal must change our hearts and must change our spirit. First, let's look at a new heart. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, we read about the circumcision or the cutting of not flesh, but of hearts. That God is here to cut our hearts so that we are attuned to Him. He wants to get a hold of us. In Jeremiah 31, 33, we read about the writing and the inscribing upon the human heart, the laws of God and the precepts of God. But it is here in Ezekiel 36 that we read about a heart transplant. And this is really what God wants to do with us today. If you navigate online on the internet to beadonor.ca, you can read the following statistics. Today in Ontario, there are over 1,600 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. This is their only treatment option, and every 3 days, someone will die because they did not get their transplant in time. Only 35% of Ontarians are registered to donate, with still 12.6 million unregistered. By donating your organs and tissues after you die, you can save up to 8 lives and improve up to 75 more lives. Do you hear the urgency in these statistics? That this is a life and death issue, especially the heart. From a physical standpoint, some people need a new heart, and we understand that. Their heart is tired, it's weak, it's broken. It's not beating properly. The blood is not pumping. We understand that. But from a spiritual standpoint, guess what? We all need a new heart. Every one of us in this room, every one of us online, we need a new heart. The prophet Ezekiel, he told us about God's transplant in Ezekiel 11, 19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. This is God's heart transplant, my friends. It is not just a heart. It is not just any heart. It is God's own heart that He places within us. And it beats for the things that His heart beats for. It breaks for the things that His heart breaks for. So how do we receive this heart transplant? What are the qualifications? What makes us eligible for this? Guess what? It's very simple. Nothing. We simply need to come with confession to the Lord, knowing that there is evil that lies deep within our hearts. That's it. All of us are eligible. Good news. But we must invite God to do what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24. Search me, God. Come on, church. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you see the words here? Search me, know me, see within me. Lead me. This is directionality. As God comes in, He gives us direction for our lives. We must request God to do what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10. Oh God, create in me a pure heart, oh God. Renew a steadfast spirit, a right spirit within me. Now, in regards to the new spirit, we know there's a new heart. There's also a new spirit. A new heart can only be inhabited by a new spirit. And God's heart within us can only be inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And so God, through Ezekiel, He made a clear distinction between two spirits. And you'll see it in the scripture. The first spirit is lowercase s spirit in verse 26. And what is this referring to? This is a differentiation from one's previous lifestyle. And so this is about the improvement of the quality of our lives in Christ, in God. And the Apostle Paul, he contrasts the old self with the new self in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The old has gone, and the new has come. And the new heart informs the mind. And as a result, we actually want to follow God's decrees. We actually want to obey God's laws. The second spirit is the uppercase S spirit in verse 27. And this is the power and this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is where I get excited and you get excited because it leads to revival and it leads to renewal. And the transformational work of the Holy Spirit, my friends, it's experiential. It's not just something we know, we believe, that we can assert as a theological truth. It is something we actually experience, the power and the presence of God. Like Ezekiel, who was led by the Spirit, it is prophetic and it's visionary. It's really important to realize that the new heart and the new spirit of Ezekiel 36 are the very set-up context for the dry bones that come to life in Ezekiel 37. It is no mistake that these two chapters are right next to each other. No mistake whatsoever. These are not disconnected chapters. They're connected because we need a new heart and we need a new spirit in order for God to do the reviving that he wants to do. And so in Ezekiel 37:14, God says, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. Come on. You're not really living until the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're not living any life. You're not going to get anywhere close to the abundant life that God has for you until you're living in the power of the Spirit. So the question is, does the Holy Spirit indwell you? And if not, my friend, you need a new heart. And if so, the other question is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, active in you or is it dormant within you? Is it active? Is it working? Is it moving? Is it prompting? Or is it dormant as in sleeping, not used, not touched, not engaged? But like Ezekiel, I can take authority upon the words of Scripture. I prophesy over the dry bones in this church. I don't know where you are, dry bones, but there's dry bones in this church somewhere. And today is the day for those dry bones to come alive. Today is the day. You see, God is in the business of heart transplants. God is in the business of spirit empowerment. So become spiritually vital people in Jesus' name. Become spiritually vital people, my friends, online, in person, in Jesus' name. Because this is what God wants for you today. Thirdly, the blessings of a new heart. There are blessings that come from having a new heart. Verse 28 to 30, the scripture says, then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all the uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. See, this heart and this spirit transplant was, in essence, a covenant renewal ceremony. And in the Old Testament, God made covenants with his people. And it had to do with their hearts being aligned with his heart. And that's what God is doing in this passage. He's renewing covenants. And with revival and renewal, there is a blessing that awaits God's people. You need to know today that God wants to bless you. I don't know what people have told you, or I don't know what you might be feeling today, but there are false narratives out there that make us think that God hates us. That God wants us to live a mediocre life. He doesn't want us to enjoy anything in this life. That he wants us to be miserable. And that is simply not true. That's the lie. That's a lie. God wants you to be blessed. But how do you be blessed? You have to have a right heart and a right spirit. And so let's look at the blessing of covenant renewal. The renewal was based on the reinstatement of God's older covenant promises. For example, the covenants with Adam and with Noah and Abraham and Moses and David, all these patriarchs of Israel. These promises are being renewed in their days, in our days, in our times. And what had once belonged to these ancestors would be returned to the people of Israel at the time of Ezekiel. And this is because Israel, the land of Israel, was not just a homeland, but it was a place where they would experience quality of life, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of safety and protection, a land with everything that they would ever need, the most fertile land in that area. And having experienced life in exile, their homeland meant such safety and security from all the hostile oppositions and the foreign attack. See, you can imagine it to be like this triangle. You'll see a picture on the screen. At the top of the triangle, you see God, and then at the bottom, you see the people, and you see land. And in the case of the Israelites, whenever they disconnected from God, you can just imagine that line disappearing between God and the people, they automatically disconnected and disqualified themselves from access to their land. So just imagine all of those arrows being cut up so there's no connection, that if the people of God are disconnected with God, they cannot access the land of God. And the only way to reconnect with God was by receiving that new heart and that new spirit. And then only then would they become the beneficiaries of the former promises of God, because the land was a former promise of God. You see, God has promised some amazing things to even our ancestors in the past. And those things need to be renewed in our day and in our time. You might not know exactly what those promises are. Maybe you do. But what promises has God made to the former generations that have come before us? And would you even dare to ask God today to renew them for us today? Secondly, there is blessings of covenant revival. And once the people could be renewed in their promises and receive these promises, the people could be revived by the produce of that land. And now the blessing of revival is two-sided in this way. I want you to see that there is a bringing forth, that God brings forth things to us, and there is also a taking away from us. You can imagine it to be two arrows going in different directions. Look at the picture on the screen. The first set of arrow here, as God brought forth the grain to the people, he also took away the famine in the land. This is what God does. In the second set of arrows, you'll see that as God brought forth all the fruit, the produce of the land, he then took away the disgrace of his people. This is what God does. He brings forth things to us in seasons of revival and renewal, and he takes away bad things from us. And so when we focus on what God brought forth, we see the words that there was plenty and there was increase. There was enough. This was the God we serve. He wants us to be blessed. And friends, with revival, guess what? The latter is greater than the former. The latter is always greater than the former. God wants to do greater things, not lesser things than we read in the Bible, greater things. And so it's not only addition, but it's addition and subtraction. The famine, if you remember, was God's judgment on his people. He was disciplining them for what they were doing. But it doesn't just disappear like that, poof. God has to come into the scene and interact and intervene with his people and remove it from them. Because our God does not just overlay blessing over curse, blessing over curse. That's not how God functions. He removes the curse so that we can experience the fullness of the blessing. Isn't that what Jesus has done for us? That he's taken our sin, he's removed it from us. Now we can enjoy the blessing of God. We can enjoy the freedom. We can enjoy the provision that he wants to give us. And so today we're not looking for only renewal blessings or revival blessings. We're looking for both renewal and revival blessings. And I believe, I'll tell you this I'll be very forward with you. The best is yet to come. You haven't seen nothing yet. And that's not wishful thinking. That's not optimism. That is standing upon the principles and promises of God's word. that the best is yet to come. We're going to live it and we're going to see it. And guess what? We will testify of it. And so it's the difference between God doing something again and God doing something he's never done before. I believe in both. That God is going to do things he's already done before. He's going to do things that he's never done before. So get ready. Because both are considered to be the blessing of God that comes through proper, healthy, right, biblical covenant relationship with him. He wants your heart. As we conclude this morning, as the worship team returns to the stage, I want to share just a few thoughts with you that I've been thinking as I finish the series, as we bring everything to a close now. One thing I've noticed over the years is that Christians are open to the love of the Father. They're open to the grace of the Son, but they're afraid of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We value our creation. We love the fact that God the Father created us and has given us life. We love and value the fact of our salvation, that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, on his sacrifice. We love it. It's fantastic. But we fear any demonstration and any experience with the Holy Spirit. And friends, I will tell you today, church family, this is an unhealthy view of God. Because we do not worship three gods. We worship one God in three persons. The Trinity. And if you're not opening your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit, you do not know God, because he cannot be divided in himself. And so we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit any longer. We need a change of heart. And for many of us, we might have a good heart, but we need a new spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. We desperately need renewal and revival corporately and personally. Only then, that's the hinge, only then will God pour out his blessings in the greatest measure you've ever seen before. God is ready. And here's the reality, God has always been ready. He's always been ready. There has not ever been a moment in history when God has not been ready to pour out his Spirit upon you. There was never a moment where he's like, nah, not today. Never. God is ready to send you his Holy Spirit, but the question is, are you willing and are you ready to receive it? Let's pray. And so, Father, today we recognize that there is a deep work that only you can do. The renovation of the human heart. Father, forgive us for hardening our hearts towards you. It can be described like Pharaoh, who just hardened his heart and calcified his heart so he was resistant to the plan of God. But even believers, they do that too. Even believers can get things twisted and the evil can set in and we can be guided by things that are not of you. But today, God, I pray for a great heart transplant in this congregation, both in person and online. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Thankfully, heart surgery doesn't have to take forever. Thankfully, the recovery time is really quick. Thankfully, we don't have to be wheeled into the ER and be at the hands of a surgeon in order for this to happen. No, right now, the Holy Spirit could come and minister to us. God can meet our hearts and touch our hearts and change us and transform us and we'll be new. Right now. Why not right now? Jesus, come and do this work. You know every person individually. You know the condition of their heart. It's not a surgery that I can perform. It's not a surgery that anybody in this room can perform, even if they're a cardiac surgeon. It's only something, God, you can perform. So Holy Spirit, you bring the conviction. I can't change anybody. You can. You can speak and prompt and convict the human heart. You can identify the health of our heart. You can identify the decay. Can deal with it because you're able. Jesus, in this holy moment, come and minister to human hearts. Soften our hearts, God, towards you. I'd say soften our hearts towards the things of the Holy Spirit, because some of us have hard hearts. We need a heart transplant. God, I pray that we receive the blessings that come with revival and renewal, with a changed heart and spirit, that you would bless this congregation, that you would bless your people, make them a blessing, so that the world may know, that the nations would know, that Waterloo region will know, that Ontario and Canada will know, that these people are your people who do not profane your name, but who bless and magnify your name. That we're the kind of people who leave a good reputation about our God. That when people see us, they glorify him. They say, wow, look at how awesome these people are. Look at how blessed these people are. It's not because God has left them. It's because God is with them. It's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. So Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come and show us the work that needs to be done. May we receive your word today. Apply it to our lives. It's challenging, it's hard. It means giving up something that we don't like or something that we're comfortable with. But it's what you require of us. Clean hands, pure heart. So we thank you for what you're doing right now in homes and in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.